We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The Blues were put to the sword at the weekend as their winning addiction came to an abrupt end at the hands of Charlton Athletic.
Cross in towards the far post, Anike the target! And Anike's headed it into the back of the net.
Johnny Williams and Chucks Anike were on the score sheet for the visitors, who made it five wins on the bounce following their South Coast success. On the show tonight, we'll be picking apart that game and looking ahead to the next, as well as hearing the pre-match thoughts of the Pompey manager too. Kenny Jackett will be appearing between now and seven. So it was a Halloween horror show for the Blues on Saturday as they fell to yet another home defeat. What do you think needs to change, if anything, ahead of tomorrow's trip to Lincoln? Should the gaffer turn to another one of his right backs for the foreseeable future? Who comes in to replace the injured Jack Watmore? And now that Ellis Harrison has returned, should he be starting with Marcus Harness dropped back into a midfield role? Be sure to let us know all of your Charlton reaction, pre-Lincoln thoughts and predictions too between now and 7pm. It's that time of the week, Pompey fans. Strap yourselves in and don't go anywhere, because you're listening to Express FM and this is the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Well, a very good evening and a warm welcome along each and every one of you to another edition of the Monday Football Hour here. You're on your home for everything Pompey, Express FM. This season, we are delighted to be supported by Stagecoach across the South, and you can download their app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to plan your next journey. On the way for you over the next hour or so, we've got full reaction from Saturday's game against Charlton, the latest on Jack Watmore's hamstring injury, and a preview of the Blues' next league fixture, which is away to Lincoln City tomorrow evening. And as always, Pompey fans, we want to hear from you back home on the show. Let us know your feelings from the weekend's match and your score predictions for the next one too. To get involved, 81400 is the number to text. Start off with the word Express and, of course, end with your name. On the emails, it's pompey@expressfm.com. It's @expressfm if you'd like to get in touch on Twitter, or there's facebook.com/Pompey Live. But before we get to any of those, we're going to take you back now to Saturday, 3 o'clock, as the Blues welcomed the Addicts to Fratton Park with both sides on a hot run of form in the league. Your commentary team for this one was Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Good afternoon and welcome to Fratton Park, where expectations have understandably gone through the roof in the past 2 weeks. The fitful early season performances have made way for a free-scoring attack, with the Blues scoring more in an eight-day period than the rest of the League One campaign put together. Suddenly, attacking potential has been realised, and fans can look at the campaign ahead with optimism that had seemingly evaporated. High-flying Pompey will face the stiff examination this afternoon, though, against the Charlton side in even better form than themselves. Here's Curtis, 30 yards out, to the feet of Harness, edge of the penalty area. This is where it can be so dangerous to Curtis in the box. Will it fall for a blue shirt? No. Oh, it might. Harness has gone round. The goalkeeper came off his line. Pulls it back. Curtis misses a glorious chance. Into the stands from Curtis, and he screams in the air in frustration. He should have scored. It's 0-0. And it comes from Brown. Lofted to the far post. Lovely delivery. Loose in the penalty area. Watmore's going to pick it up, and he tried to let it back for Cannon. It was too telegraphed, and it's been read by Charlton. Ball into the penalty area. Run by Martson. Across the face of goal, and into the net. Charlton have scored. It's Martin's ball across, and Johnny Williams slides in and gives the visitors the lead. Pompey undone by a crossfield ball, and Charlton's fullback lays it on a plate, and Williams forces it in. It's Portsmouth nil, Charlton 1. Brown on the overlap. Curtis looking for Brown. Brown chance to cross into the middle. Great defending from Gunter at the near post. Clears away. Williams gets the shot away. Harrison, I think that might have hit Marquist. And Charlton will clear it away. And suddenly there's danger here because Anike has got away from Nicolaisen. Anike's into the box. Anike's shot is saved by McGilvery. Keeps it at 1-0. Here comes Charlton down the right-hand side. Cross in towards the far post. Anike, the target! And Anike's headed it into the back of the net and ended this one as a contest. Charlton have doubled their lead. Anike rising above Raggett at the far post. McGilvery with no chance. It's Portsmouth 0, Charlton 2. Final whistle goes here at Fratton Park. Portsmouth's winning streak is over. They've been beaten by Charlton by 2-0.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights fair of Pompey's 2-0 defeat at home to Charlton Athletic on Saturday. The Blues' third loss on home turf already this season. So, Blues fans, what did you make of that performance? Was the result expected? Can you pin too much blame on anyone, or was it simply just a case of being beaten by a better opponent? Do you think there needs to be change ahead of tomorrow's trip to Lincoln? Don't hesitate to get in contact with us between now and 7 o'clock. All the ways to get involved, if you don't know them by now, can be found on our website, expressfm.com. Firstly, however, we're going to welcome in my two guests for this evening's instalment of the show. First of all, welcome back to you, Andy Mitchell-Moore.
Hello, Jake. How are we doing?
Not too bad, thank you, mate. I hope you're well, first of all, of course.
Always, thank you, mate.
Yep. I'm going to ask you first about Saturday's game, Andy, and we'll get to analyse it in a bit more detail in a moment, but would you blankly pin that down to it being a poor performance or maybe simply just being defeated by a better team?
I think on the day, there wasn't actually that much between the two teams. I think the fact that we've not had any form of the normal social media meltdown after it says quite a lot about the attitudes towards the game. I think the first half, yeah, could have gone either way. Obviously, we had a couple of chances, and it was a good goal from Charlton, to be fair. And then, obviously, we changed system a bit in the second half. So I'm not having a big reactionary panic to it, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think the way we lined up in the first half was absolutely fine.
Yeah. And joining you tonight, Andy, to give his thoughts on that loss and to look ahead to the next fixture is Blake O'Neill, who's here to make his Football Hour debut. Blake, welcome to the show, mate.
Good to be here. How are you, Jack?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Not too bad. Like Andy's just touched upon, you know, it was defeat for Pompey at the weekend, but no real ill feelings towards that one. Not something you can really get too much, you know, too down upon. Blake, I want to ask you, it was Pompey's third home league defeat of the season on Saturday. What's going on at Fratton Park, do you think? I know we've emphasised in recent weeks on the show that perhaps it's down to a lack of a home crowd. Is that something you stick by?
Well, I think obviously not having fans in Fratton is not going to help, especially if the fans give the players a good backing and they put them towards the Fratton and they push them up the pitch. They give them a bit of that, bit of a behind them, and I think it won't help us on the road either, but it tends to be Pompey's way that we're never really good at one. It's either home or away form we tend to have.
Yeah. There's no real kind of fear factor at Fratton Park anymore, is there, Andy? Yeah. You know, we've seen it so far this season. You know, five games we played at home, three defeats already. Teams are coming down to PO4 and they're not fearing that home crowd, which is usually there. And as Blake just mentioned, you know, the home supports at Fratton are rather raucous. And you know, throughout every match, you know, they're there to back the team. They're there to, you know, kick them up the backside if things aren't going too great. And we've seen so far this season, but without them, we are suffering.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I saw the stat already that we've dropped more points this season than we did in the entirety of last season at home. And yeah, I think not having the fans in is certainly having an effect. You do find in that the second half when we tend to be shooting towards the Fratton end that even if it's only that extra 5% or you know even 2% over the course of a season, that's going to make quite a large difference. So, you know, they're probably feeling like they're rattling around a bit in Fratton Park at the moment without, you know, that extra couple of percent. So I think it has to be making a difference.
Yeah. Now, no goals for Pompey on Saturday, Blake, but it's fair to say the attacking intent was there that we've seen in recent games. The chances were, you know, were plenty. However, no real clear-cut chances on goal. There weren't really any spells of which you saw Pompey heading towards the Charlton goal and really, you know, putting pressure upon the keeper, who actually looked quite shaky throughout the entire match. Is this something of which you are perhaps worried about? Or, again, like I asked Andy just a moment ago, is this something that actually, you know, you look at Charlton's record, their defensive record, they've not conceded in 9 hours of football. is it simply due to the fact we've played a very good defensive team and they've done their job better than we've done our job?
Yeah, well, you look at it, we're I think we're the top scorers in the division at the minute. We've got, I think, 16 goals, 11 in our last few games. I don't think it's too much to get worried about that we've not scored against that Charlton defensive unit. They're very, very good together. They're very good defensively and catching teams on the break. That's what they did against us. I mean, I don't think fans can get too worried about that yet. If it happens again, I suppose, in the next two, three games, maybe even four games, you might be able to look at it and think, OK, maybe there's a problem here. But I think against that Charlton team, you're never going to get too many chances against that defence, and obviously we didn't.
No. Well, looking at the stats from the game, Andy, and Blake's, you know, highlighted there about how Charlton, you know, how they play really, and they are a fantastically, you know, defensive side, and they had five shots against Pompey, three on target, and they scored two goals, and that is something which emphasises the way they play, the way they've been winning games lately. They let teams attack them, they let teams come up against them, they allow them to come up against their defence, which they know is a good one, and they hit them on the counter-attack, and we saw that on Saturday, and they were more clinical than Pompey on the afternoon. We saw John Marquis, who has been firing them in recent weeks, he was unable to get past that defence. Marcus Harness couldn't do it, Ronan Curtis couldn't do it. Sometimes you've just got to bow down and actually give credit to the opposition, because they played very well, they had their game plan, and we suffered as a result.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at the Charlton team, I think on paper they're certainly one of the strongest squads in the division. I think in the first half, I think we caused them a little bit of trouble from time to time. Curtis had that one really good chance early on. But then as the game progressed, I mean, to me, watching the last 25 minutes, it wasn't one of those games where you really felt like we were about to get into it. It just didn't feel like we were stretching the defence at all. They just sat with their banks of defence and kind of dealt with whatever we could throw at them. And yeah, I thought we looked a little bit isolated up top later on in the game, and it just didn't have that feel to it. Like, we were really threatening them at any point. It didn't feel like they went out of sort of third or fourth gear in the second half, which is, you know, a slight concern. But as I say, you don't want to be too reactionary after we've put some good results back to back and then just come up against what is a very good Charlton team for me.
Because it's got to be said, Blake, and Andy's, you know, already pointed out how there's not really been much of a reaction from that game simply because of the way it was played, because of the, you know, the strength of the opposition against us. And it wasn't a case of Pompey being awful or perhaps off the pace, but we just didn't quite match the quality of Charlton. And sometimes, you know, as we just mentioned, you know, you play a good team, you lose games, and it is like you've already highlighted. It's about the reaction from those defeats against Lincoln, against, you know, Ipswich in the FA Cup. In matches to come, those are the ones you want to put Saturday behind and react quickly and get back on that winning run.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you look at teams like Charlton, you can't let that get to you too much. You've got to think they're going to be up there and thereabouts. They always are when they're in League One. They've always tended to win at Fratton Park. We never really beat them at home. If we get a result, it tends to be away. I mean, I saw a stat the other day that was something to do with Pompey haven't beaten Charlton at Fratton Park since This Is The Way To Amarillo was number one in the UK charts.
Yeah.
Which was a long, long time ago now. So I don't think the fans can really say, oh no, we're not going to be up there now. You kind of just have to take that one on the chin and just keep going.
Yeah, it's similar to, you know, the three previous games to that, Andy. You know, a lot of the feelings were, well, okay, we've won a few games, but it doesn't mean we're going up. Similar to this weekend, we've lost a game, doesn't necessarily mean we're not going up. So it is too early in the season. We've still got 36 matches to play. But of course, our job tonight is to analyse the game on Saturday, of course. But in terms of the season as a whole, looking ahead, are you still feeling confident of this team, the kind of attacking intent we have shown in recent games, the defensive quality we've also shown, that's got to be said. Are you still confident heading into what is now a busy period of November?
Absolutely. I do think that Kenny Jackett has hit a formula that will work over the course of a season with the 4-4-2. And I think we're now creating opportunities that are going to trouble the vast majority of sides in the division. And after the first 45 on Saturday, I thought we potentially could do that in the second half as well, even against Charlton. But I am a lot less concerned than I was when we were rigidly lining up in that 4-2-3-1 every week without really any, not any second thought to it, but you kind of knew what to expect, and so did the opposition. With the 4-4-2, I think we're going to cause a lot more issues to to other sides in the coming months.
Got a couple of interactions to get to before we head to our first break of the night. Stephen Jerome on the emails. Good evening to you, Stephen. He says, "Hi lads, not the result we wanted on Saturday, but it was not by any means a poor performance. I thought we played okay and we had a lot of the ball in the second half, but Charlton defended very well. And I think we just lacked that cutting edge in the final third that we've seen in the previous few games, and we just struggled to break them down. We were up against a strong defence and you could see why they've gone so long without conceding a goal. But the stats don't lie. We only had one shot on target on Saturday while Charlton had three and scored with two of them. So I think they just edged it. However, I do feel they were lucky not to get down to 10 men in the first half after that bad challenge on Callum Johnson from Prattley. I can't remember now. I've seen red cards given for tackles like that and he didn't even get a yellow for it. So it was poor refereeing in my eyes," says Stephen. He goes on to say, "It's a shame that our winning run has now come to an end, but I'd rather it come against a team like Charlton than a team at the bottom end of the table. Hopefully it's just a blip, a bad day at the office, as they say, but now we have to dust ourselves down and go again. Hopefully we can get back to winning ways tomorrow night at Lincoln. Play at Pompey," says Stephen Southsea. Stevens, thank you very much for getting in touch. Got another one here on Facebook. Alex Hall says, "I wish you'd stop using an empty ground as an excuse for losing. Fratton has not been a fortress nor intimidating for a number of seasons now. We were simply outplayed on Saturday." Alex, thank you for getting in touch. I do agree it's not necessarily an excuse to losing, maybe just a factor. But thanks for getting in touch. Always good to hear from you. Gav Jones as well on Twitter. "Good evening, Jake and co. Hope you're all well. And not too upset about the Charlton result as I expected it. They have been a thorn in our side for a long time now. However, I can't stop wondering if we had fans on Saturday, would Darren Prattley have been shown a red card?" And that's clearly the big talking point from the game, Blake. The rash challenge from Darren Prattley on Callum Johnson. Nowhere near the ball, and you can't help but feel that if Callum Johnson hadn't jumped out of the way of that challenge, that could have been quite a dangerous one for him.
Yeah, definitely. I think, especially if fans were in, I think they would have put a lot of pressure on the referee there to possibly send him off. Well, definitely at least give him a card for that. I've seen it back many a time now. I just think there's no... Obviously, there may not be intent for him to hurt him, but he's missed the ball completely, badly timed. I think he should be walking for that. Obviously, the ref hasn't given it. And I, honestly, in my opinion, think he should have been sent off.
Yeah. Andy, how do you feel about that one? I mean, we discussed it on Pompey Live after the game, and at first, I think the initial reaction from myself and Liam was that actually maybe he should have been sent off. However, you know, we saw it, season before last, with Ben Thompson. He was sent off against Charlton in the December of that season, straight red towards the end of the game, the exact same position, similar kind of tackle. And it actually transpired that Ben Thompson won the ball on that occasion. It was the way in which he went into that challenge, which, you know, gave the referee the thought to give him the red card. It was rescinded. So do you feel that this Darren Prattley one, he didn't connect with Callum Johnson. Okay, he didn't get the ball either. Did it look as bad as it actually was? Was it a straight red, or was it, would a yellow have been fair enough?
I mean, do we really want to get to a point where you've actually got to connect with someone's knee for it to actually be a red card? Whereas if the player on the receiving end gets out of the way, then the tackling player gets away with it.
Yeah.
I don't think whether or not Callum Johnson managed to get out of the way is even a relevant factor. He shouldn't have to have his leg broken for there to be any sort of punishment. For me, yellow would be standard for that. And then there's an argument for red, but I wouldn't complain about a yellow. I do think not even getting a yellow card was a poor decision. I mean, I think the referee was soft to both teams, I should say. I'm not using this as any form of excuse. It was for both sides. I mean, Johnny Williams, I don't know if you like rugby, Jake, but he literally tackled Curtis. He literally tackled him second half with his hand while he was on the ground. Nicola Eisen got lucky with one as well that could have potentially been a yellow. So I think, in general, the referee was too soft. But
yeah.
I think a yellow for Prattley would have been fair. Occasionally you do see more than that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, Andy. Okay, guys, we will be rejoining you in just a few moments. But first, we're going to head to a very quick break. And after which, we'll be hearing from Blues boss Kenny Jackett, who's looking for a big reaction from Saturday's defeat.
We want to be going up to Lincoln, make sure we're ready. No hangover from Saturday. And make sure we take part in a good game, but do everything we can to win.
Stick around to hear what he had to say when he looked ahead to tomorrow's trip to Lincoln with Ollie Marsh earlier this morning. And when we return, as well as hearing from Bagatha, we want to be hearing from you back home as well. All the usual ways, it's at ExpressFM on Twitter. Text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. You can email in pompey@expressfm.com or head to facebook.com/PompeyLive. So join us right after this break for even more Pompey discussion and debate right here on 93.7 ExpressFM for the continuation of this Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Monday Football Hour here on the only radio station proud to be passionately Pompey, Express FM, brought to you tonight by Stagecoach Buses. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach Bus. They provide cheap, reliable and frequent services across Portsmouth and beyond too. Don't forget to apply a face covering throughout the length of your ride as well. Going to head back to Andy and Blake now for more reaction from Saturday's defeat at home to Charlton Athletic. And it was a defeat, Andy, and you know, we've already highlighted how Pompey and the attacking intent was still there on display, just couldn't quite break down into that final third. Now kind of looking back into the midfield, and we'll work our way back within the squad as the show goes on, but the inclusion of Andy Cannon in recent matches has proved to be a decent one from Kenny Jackett.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely taken his chance when it's been offered to him. Obviously, there were a lot of calls to sort of reshuffle the midfield slightly towards the start of the season, whereas Jackett had sort of decided on the spine of the team that he wanted to start the season with. But Cannon coming in has done a good job. One thing I really thought from the game against Charlton was that Cannon did a decent job defensively as well as going forward. He has that reputation as being sort of a player that can speed up the play on the break, or you know, quickly move us up the field, which is what we've been clamouring for. But I think he's been doing a pretty good job tracking back as well. So yeah, that's sort of almost box to box style at times. And then yeah, as we say, quickly can change defence into attack, which is one of the reasons we've looked so dangerous on the break in the last couple of games.
And Pompey have got options in that position, haven't we, Blake? I mean, Kenny Jackett started the season with Bryn Morris as his preferred option alongside Tom Naylor. Ben Close hasn't really had a sniff in, but Andy Cannon coming in and proving why Kenny Jackett has put his faith in Andy in that position. And you can't really see a way out of his team at the moment, the way he's performing for Andy Cannon. You can't really see a way back in for Ben Close, which is unfortunate. We know the talent that he's got. We know that he can provide a different dimension to Pompey's game. But as Andy's just mentioned there, Andy Mitchmore, Andy Cannon just adds that element of linking up the midfield to the attack, and he is a bit of a breath of fresh air to his team.
Yeah, I think from the start when he's been here, after obviously his starting injury, I think a lot of fans always thought he was that kind of player that even last season when you saw it, when we went away, when he came on, he just used to have that bit of flair that I think we needed. He gets stuck in quite a lot as well, like Tom Naylor does, admittedly. But I think Andy Cannon adds that kind of bit to his game where he can just play a pass forward and he can set like Curtis through on the wing, Harness through up front now, Williams through on the wing. He can just create chances. Mm-hmm. I think Ben Close could maybe come in for a couple of maybe, what is it now, the Papa John's Trophy games, get himself some fitness, get himself back in the squad, try and prove himself there. But at the minute, I can't see anything shifting Andy Cannon out of that squad.
No. Good evening to Graham Wilkins, has emailed in once again. Graham, thank you for getting in touch. He says on his email, hi gents, basically Charlton are a decent team who have just come down from a championship, so I'm not worried at all by Saturday's results. So we start again tomorrow night against Lincoln. I would probably start with the same team that started on Saturday, except without the injured Jack Watmore. Rasmus Nicolaisen should get his full debut. The bench should stay the same with Minoga back in again. Bolton seems to have been thrown on the scrap heap with Downing, so I can't see any way back for him. And we'll get on to that subject of that right back and the defensive, the options for tomorrow's game, lads, when we begin to preview that match in the next part of the show. But we will talk about the injury to Jack Watmore on Saturday, Andy. And at first, it was first feared that the injury was to his knee, which we all know is something recurring for Jack, and we all know that once that comes back, we are looking at a lengthy spell out on the sidelines for him. However, it was a hamstring, and I think Kenny Jackett said after the game on Saturday that he was hopeful that he'd be back and ready for the Ipswich game on Saturday. However, he has confirmed earlier today that he will be out for quite a few weeks now, and whilst it's not a long period of time, this is quite the blow to Pompey. The way we have been so assured at the back, Jack Watmore has been, you know, the kind of rock within that defence since the departure of Christian Burgess. It will probably take its toll on the team now. We've got to make sure that we look tight-knitted against strong teams like Lincoln and Ipswich coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that what Kenny Jackett tries to pride his teams on is having that solid central spine. So when he plays 4-2-3-1, generally tries to keep the same two centre-backs and same two central defensive midfielders to try and, you know, create that relationship for a run of games together. So Jack Watmore missing out for a few games is obviously going to weaken the side, as he plays like the senior centre-back, as far as I'm concerned, in most lineups he starts in. Having said that, if Rasmus Nicolaisen isn't motivated to put in some performances, then he never will be. He said that he wants more first team minutes than he's had since he arrived, and he's getting frustrated sitting on the bench, and he's now got the perfect opportunity to make his case for the other centre-back starting position when Jack Watmore does come back, because you'd imagine Watmore's going to walk back into the team. I certainly think he should when he's back from his injury. He's done, you know, no reason not to. Nicolaisen should be perfectly motivated to make his case, I'd imagine, to nail down the other starting spot.
Yeah. Wayne Harris on Twitter says that Pompey were taken down a peg or two by an impressive Charlton side who will be contenders. We didn't play too badly, but simply not threatening to a decent defence. It'll be interesting to see if we cause Lincoln any problems. Rasmus surely gets his chance now. Let's see what he has to offer. Thank you to Wayne on Twitter there. We'll move on to the conversation of, you know, the next game, Blake, the next part of the show, and we'll speak about who could line up for Pompey against Lincoln. But I want to talk about now, which is something which won't really affect Pompey, but it will in certain ways, and that is the second lockdown. It's coming into effect on Thursday evening. We are seeing elite football continue, so of course Premier League down to League 2 and the National League and National League South as well. So having to Waterlooville will also be able to continue. We are unsure as to this point whether or not the Pompey women will be able to continue. Hopefully they can. But it's big news and something we can't really shy away from, Blake, you know, this second lockdown. And yeah, it's something which is going to have a detrimental effect on our non-league team. So fingers crossed from a financial point of view, this doesn't last as long as the last one. And if it does, there is some sort of backing in place for these teams to be able to survive it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at clubs locally, especially like United Services, Baffins, Moneyfields, all in three need the fans. Obviously, they've probably been doing quite well now, fans are back in. Even if tickets prices aren't that much, you get your money through serving alcohol, serving drinks, serving food as well. And obviously, if it's shut down again, no fans allowed in, possibly not even the football allowed on, the players are then going to kind of be questioned if they're going to still get their money from games. Possibly not. But also the owners will still have to pay to maintain the pitch, maintain the electricity, things like that there. And they won't be able to get any money in from anything if there's lockdown means that it's obviously shutting down.
Yeah. Do you want to give a shout out to a good friend of mine, Glenn Turnbull, manager of United Services of Portsmouth, as you've just mentioned there, Blake. I know you're going to the game on Wednesday evening. Services of Portsmouth, they are at home, but not at home, to a Bournemouth side travelling down. They're playing at Porchester's Crest Finance Stadium on Wednesday, 7:45 kickoff, £6 for adults, £3 concessions. Glenn says it'll be great to see as many fans as he can see there. Of course, it'll be their last game before this lockdown, and Henry Deacon will have more news on that and how that will affect the non-league teams on Over the White Line this Wednesday from 6 p.m, Andy. But in terms of Pompey, not really going to affect us too much now. Of course, we are already playing games behind closed doors, but the only real effect is that it pushes back the potential return of supporters to Fratton Park and to games in general. You know, I don't think many were realistically expecting any fans back at all before the new year. However, this does push it back to an extent.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it seems strange that we were a few days away from having that 1,000 fan trial period against Wigan, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got my own opinions on this, the fact that we're still carrying on with, you know, college and university education, but we can't do you know, watching any sort of spectator sport in a more controlled environment. But I mean, that's a different conversation for a different day. But I think, yeah, I mean, realistically, we're not going to be getting any fans in until well into the new year. And to be honest, I wouldn't be that surprised if we don't see any fans in this season, purely because it's obviously not the government's priority, and they're not, you know, putting themselves out to come up with contingencies, because if they were, then we'd have had that 1,000 fan trial maybe a couple of weeks before. So it's obviously so low on their agenda that by the time we get to that point, I don't think it will happen this season, personally.
One thing we don't want to see, Blake, is this kind of situation regarding COVID. Now, of course, you know, the health and the safety of, you know, the public is the paramount, you know, the priority over anything right now, over football, over any sort of thing that we, you know, we look forward to on a regular week. But the one thing we don't want to see is, like last season, some sort of unweighted points per game system. We don't want to see the season cancelled. We want to be able to see this campaign through. You know, we want a crack to get up into the Championship this season. We didn't quite have the opportunity to do so at the back end of last season. Of course, that's nobody's fault. It's just the way it was. But you'd just like to see. But, you know, with fans there, without fans there, we just want to get the season over and done with.
Yeah, definitely. I think if we finished the season last season especially, I reckon Pompey were in good run of form before we hit the lockdown, before COVID came in. I think if maybe the season had been finished, obviously we don't know. I reckon Pompey could have possibly pushed on and maybe got that second place, possibly even first, if they'd been able to catch Coventry. But that's all said and done now. We just do not want it to happen again, because I think that would ruin us once more, especially with the start not being... Obviously, we've had a decent start, but it's not been the greatest.
Yeah.
And I think with weighted points per game, I think it could go two ways. It could work in your favour like it did for Wickham, or it could work awfully for you like it did for Sunderland.
Yeah. Okay, lads, thank you. We are going to hear now from the manager, Kenny Jackett, who spoke to Ollie Marsh earlier today to look ahead to the midweek trip to Lincoln City. The gaffer was first asked what he is expecting from the match against a strong Lincoln side.
So, Kenny, a trip to Lincoln tomorrow. They've had an impressive start to the season. What are you expecting from them?
Yeah, they have, and they've recruited very well in the summer. Have a balanced group, and traditionally, anyway, Lincoln's a difficult place to go on a Tuesday night. It will be. Minus the crowd, which, you know, we've seen at Fratton Park the differences that can make, so it does even it up a little bit, but they're a good side anyway, playing with plenty of confidence, and I'm sure will be a difficult game. For us, anyway, you know, we want to bounce back after Saturday. We're disappointed with a result. We were on a great run, and Charlton, I thought on that particular day, proved a tough nut to crack. We just couldn't break them down. We had plenty of the ball. We just couldn't get the clear cut chances or get away the final pass. Just some of our decisions around the box could have been better, and ultimately then they have a lot of experience to be able to slow the game down, and the second half run away for us. And you know, we want to be going up to Lincoln, make sure we're ready, no hangover from Saturday, and make sure we take part in a good game, but do everything we can to win.
Lincoln also lost their previous game, so it'll be two teams looking to bounce back. What effect do you think that can have on the game?
I think it was a very close game with themselves and Doncaster. It was even, but we've played Doncaster. They're a good side, and, you know, some fine details decide those games at that level. And for them, anyway, as you say, they'll be wanting to, you know, maintain the pace, because they've set a good pace and had a bright start to it, and we'll be encouraged by it. It's similar with ourselves, you know, from the first 10 games, and we've got 17 points, and we'd like it to just be a few more, but we're not far away from where we want to be, and we have to look at the next sort of batch of 10 games now, see if we can get the wins. We do go for games as well, generally, you know, we haven't drawn many, and all of the time we have to keep going for those wins. They're important.
You mentioned not being able to create clear-cut chances against Charlton, and how do you make sure that pattern doesn't repeat tomorrow, because you on the whole have been in good goal scoring form?
Yeah, we have good players in terms of the top end of the pitch, and a good way, you know, I feel, of creating chances. It just didn't quite happen. Our final pass, some decisions, they slowed the game down very well. It was obviously the Prattley situation as well, didn't go for us, so, you know, it's just where it was, but fair play to them, they did the job there. And you know, we have 17 points from our first 10. We have to look at our next 10 now, see if we can do that or upwards and keep improving. We've got good forward players here, you know, one or two missing. Michael Jacobs has been a loss in terms of balance of the way we want to play, definitely, but you know, he won't be too many weeks and he'll be back, so that'll be okay, and there's a lot of the season left. But in terms of our balance and what we were trying to do and making sure we can get two players up front, that helped us. But we have to just keep working and adjusting, and you know, we have the players in the forward areas, and we have a side as a whole that have proved so far this season we can create and score chances.
Is it still looking like Jack Watmore's going to be out tomorrow, and if so, how much confidence do you have in Rasmus Nicolaisen to step in?
Yeah, Rasmus has come here to play, and that's, you know, what he wants to do. He's had a good settling in period. He's had, you know, some games. He's had substitute appearances, which has been good for him as well. So his build up, you know, to going into the side can't be any better. And you know, we're excited about him coming into our team, and you know, we're pleased to sign him. And quite naturally now, it is an opportunity with Jack's injury. Jack will be out, we think, around about 3 weeks with a hamstring injury, and is a shame because he started the season very well. But it's not a long term thing. And he'll be back, and as you say, in terms of Rasmus now, there's an opportunity for him, and you know, quite naturally he's had a good build up and had a look at English football, got to know all of our players, and I'm sure we'll form a good partnership with Sean Raggett.
Just on the Charlton game, is it important that you don't get too disheartened by it? Because you look back at October and say 6 wins is a fantastic return.
Yeah, but we are disappointed to lose against Charlton. You know, we didn't want that to be the case. And we had a lot of pressure, you know, regained the ball. The whole of the second half was almost played out in their half. But then they defended very, very well and defended that lead. And you know, for us anyway, we can't take away, we are disappointed. But then after that, you have to look at the good things that you did, because we did a number of good things in that particular game. What you need to be a winning side again, and put those two together, and then look forward, and you know, in this league they come pretty quickly. So you know, that analysis, that breakdown, that optimism then, and encourage the players as we go up to Lincoln, because they're capable of getting a result.
Blues boss Kenny Jackett there previewing tomorrow evening's league fixture at Sinsel Bank. Pompey travel to third place and early pace setters Lincoln City for match day 11 of the new league season. Myself, Andy and Blake will be looking further ahead to that match after the break, and we'll be hearing an in-depth analysis of this week's opponents, and gathering the score predictions from you listening back home too. This is perhaps your final chance to get involved and send your thoughts in before we leave you at 7, so why not use those next few minutes to do just that. As ever, 81400 is the number to text. Be sure to start those with the word Express and include your name at the end. Otherwise, it's pompey@expressfm.com on the emails. @expressfm is what to include within your tweets, or you can visit facebook.com/Pompey Live. We'll be back with part 3 of and the final part of the show, and more of a Pompey discussion right after the break. So don't move a muscle and stay tuned to 93.7 Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Express Breakfast. Wake me up.
With Bisco Solicitors. Local, experienced, reliable.
Heading into lockdown 2, we want to use our experience and avoid the things from lockdown 1 that we didn't enjoy. Fowler says, queuing for milk at the corner shop. Always a queue, don't know why. Mark doesn't want to argue with his din mates about how COVID-19 isn't created from 5G towers. For me, I'm happy with the banana bread, not so happy with the Zoom quizzes.
Express Breakfast.
With Mason Jordan.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the final part of this Monday Football Hour on 93.7 Express FM, driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Head over to stagecoach.co.uk for the latest information regarding timetables, fares, and more importantly, updates in compliance with a recent government announcement which announced a second national lockdown. We have reached the last 20 minutes of the show now, so we're going to get straight on with it and hear from Connor Mosley, who takes a closer look at the threat set to be posed by Pompey's midweek opponents, Lincoln City.
A bounce back is needed from Pompey in midweek following Saturday's home defeat at the hands of Charlton Athletic. The Blues are so far unbeaten on their travels, however, and their next challenge is a trip to Lincoln City.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Imps of Lincoln City provide the latest challenge for Kenny Jackett's side, who've slipped out of the playoff places. 36 games remain for the Blues to make up for lost points, however, and this week's trip to Cintill Bank is set to be no walk in the park. So, what do we know about the side who are playing non-league football just 3.5 years ago?
Manager.
Lincoln City are led by former Blues boss Michael Appleton. The 44-year-old, who operated as a midfielder during his short playing career, began his managerial career at Fratton Park in 2011. Following on from his season at PO4, which ended in relegation for the Blues, Appleton went on to manage Blackpool, Blackburn Rovers and Oxford United before being named caretaker boss of Leicester City for a brief spell in the Premier League in 2017. The tattered-up gaffer was a favourite amongst Pompey supporters, despite the relegation, which was pinned largely down to the club's off-field problems. Appleton took charge of the Imps in September 2019, replacing the departing Danny Cowley. He's since won 19 of his 44 competitive games at the helm of Lincoln City.
One to watch.
Scottish midfielder Conor McGrandles is a name to look out for in this match. The 24-year-old Falkirk-born stands at 6 feet tall and made the switch to Cintill Bank on July the 27th, following the termination of his contract at Milton Keynes just weeks before. McGrandles scored MK's second goal against Pompey in their 3-1 victory over the Blues at Stadium MK on the final match day of 2019. As a 16-year-old, McGrandles burst onto the scene at his local club Falkirk in Scotland back in 2012, going on to make 66 first-team appearances during 2 years as a pro at the club. He then moved to England, where Norwich City awaited him, though he managed just one appearance in 3 years due to some torrid injuries. Whilst he is still young, he's got a decent level of EFL experience and has proven that he is more than capable of performing at this level on a regular basis, further proving that he's got the potential to grow into a solid midfielder if given the right amount of game time, which he's getting at Cintill Bank.
Top scorer.
25-year-old midfielder and graduate of the Nottingham Forest Academy, George Grant, is so far the club's leading scorer in League One. Formerly of the Nike Academy, Grant signed for the Imps on a permanent basis in July 2019 for an undisclosed fee from Forest. During his time at Lincoln, the former Notts County, Luton and Mansfield loanee has scored 8 in 42 appearances in all competitions, being hailed as a game-changer in the middle of the park by supporters of the club who've since grown fond of him. Grant, who wears the number 18 shirt, has 6 league goals and 1 assist to his name so far, a record which has propelled him to the top of the rankings of scorers in the division. Peterborough's Johnson Clark Harris is level with Grant on 6 strikes, whereas Pompey's Marcus Harness and John Marquis lurk behind on 5.
Current form.
Like Pompey, Lincoln go into this game having been defeated at the weekend. Michael Appleton's side fell off top spot and dropped to 3rd after a 1-0 loss at Doncaster Rovers. Prior to that, the Imps had, again in similar fashion to the Blues, won 3 on the trot. Overall, Lincoln boasts a record of 7 wins, 2 defeats and a draw from their opening 10 league fixtures, a return which has seen them fly to an unforeseen surge to the top end of the division. They've also had the second best defensive record up to this stage, conceding just one more goal than Saturday's opponents Charlton. So, can the Blues return to winning ways and keep up their impressive form on the road this season? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
Conor Mosley there with a look into Pompey's next opponents, Lincoln City, who await the Blues at Cintill Bank at the earlier time of 7pm tomorrow evening, which means Liam, Ryan and I will be live from 6 with all of the pre-match build-up and conversation. Earlier kick-off for Pompey tomorrow, Andy. Lincoln away it is for the Blues in their next fixture, match day 11 of this new League One season. And we go into a game, of course, having been defeated, but it's another tough fixture for the Blues.
Yeah, again, we've kind of got back-to-back tough fixtures like we do later on in end of November, start of December, where we've got Peterborough and Ipswich back-to-back. So, yeah, we're getting these big games in clumps, it seems. I said before the Charlton game that 2 draws would be a good haul of points from these 2 games. So if we get 3 points against Lincoln, then that's better than what I said I'd be content with. I think, yeah, away from home, you'd back us to get a result. Again, they've got a few injury concerns from their first team option. So It's a big few days for Pompey, isn't it?
It is indeed. And obviously, Pompey go into a game, a man like Blake Jack Watmore will be missing for the next probably 6 or 7 matches for the Blues, and that all starts tomorrow night against Lincoln. Rasmus Nicolaisen is probably the man who is going to fill in for Jack at the back alongside Sean Raggett. Is that something you can get alongside with?
Well, I think we don't really have many other options unless we were to reconvert, say, James Bolton back there, who I think he played there against Arsenal. But I think Rasmus and Sean are definitely going to be a decent partnership. I think there's not many other options in the squad at the minute, which is something possibly to be worried about. We only have 3 senior centre-backs. We may have a couple more that could possibly push from the youth academy, possibly, or even converting people such as James Bolton into central roles, possibly.
Hadji Manoga is a name who has been mentioned a few times on social media since I asked the question this morning, Andy, and a player who can fill in at both right back and in that centre back role. And whilst myself and Blake have just mentioned there about Rasmus Nicolaisen, he's probably going to be the man who fills in for Jack tomorrow night. But Hadji Manoga, you expect to at least been featured within that match day 18?
Yeah, absolutely. He's spent a lot of his early years in football playing in that centre back position, and when he's had, when he's had a chance in the Pompey first team, he stood up and taken the opportunity in the cup the other week. He had a really, really strong 90 minutes, and I would expect him to step up into the squad at this point, and I would have absolutely no issues whatsoever with him stepping into the first team for the league. I genuinely really rate him. I think he's the best youth prospect we have on the books at the moment, personally.
Yeah. We're going to speak about now the right-back position, Blake. And a question I posed at the start of the game was, should Kenny Jackett perhaps explore his options at right-back for the upcoming matches? Now, both of Charlton's goals at the weekend came from that right-hand side, where Callum Johnson is, of course, marking, the attackers. And a few shouts, but maybe Callum Johnson should maybe step aside, maybe let James Bolton or even Hadji Manoka come into the team and just freshen things up for a few games. Not necessarily drop Callum Johnson, but just to see something different. Is that something, again, that you can necessarily agree with? Or is it something, you don't want to see the team messed about with too much? And once you start dropping players, for one half-bad performance, it kind of unsettles the dressing room. But there's 2 ways to look at this. What are you looking at like?
Well, I think I've got 2 points to make here. First one I think I'm going to just explore is the fact that Callum Johnson's not the only defender on the right-hand side. I think putting all the blame on him is possibly a bit unfair. I mean, Jack obviously normally plays right centre-back. He wasn't there for the second goal, I don't think.
No.
So I think Rasmus came in, and obviously coming off the bench, you've seen it when Burgess made the mistake against Doncaster last season. When you come off the bench, it can be hard to settle into the game, especially in a defensive role. I think it would have been hard to just pin everything on Johnson for... He might have made a mistake. Yeah, maybe. But the second point I want to make is it depends how Jackett wants to play with that right flank. I think if he wants to have the fullbacks bombing forward, I think Johnson's the best option there. I saw a diagram earlier. You see Johnson's given a lot of output from that right-hand side. He put a very good ball into the box. You looked at his ball from the disallowed goal against Sunderland. It was a great ball into Marquess, which he did finished, obviously, offside. But he's got that ability. Whereas if you want to sit back, maybe James Bolton or Hadji Manoga, a bit more physical players, a bit more people that will kind of hold it back a bit more.
Yeah. Can't really argue with that, can you, Andy? You don't want to mess with this team too much. You don't want to be dropping players after, just a few shouts and after, one game. But it is nice to have these options, on the bench for Pompey. James Bolton, Hadji Manoga as well. We've got these players who are ready to fit in those slots should they be called upon.
Yeah, I don't think squad depth is anything that we can complain about in any way, shape or form. I think we need to be careful with James Bolton in terms of what the plan is especially for the next few weeks with Watmore out. If in Jackett's head James Bolton is one of those options as a centre back, then sort of as a second or third choice centre back, then you can't play him at right back. You can't ask him to be concentrating on preparing for 2 roles at the same time. But I mean, as was just mentioned, I mean, Bolton going forward is definitely a strength to the team. When we were playing 4-2-3-1 at the start of the season, there were a couple of games when his heat map sort of his average position was further forward than John Marquess, when Marquess was isolated and dropping deep. So he offers a lot going forward. And yeah, I honestly, I think we've hit a good formula. With the exception of the Charter game, we don't need to overreact and just reinvent the wheel. I really don't think we do. They were a good side, and we got turned over. And just because he lost, you know, lost a ball in the air against Chucks Neke for the second goal, I really don't think we need to talk about rotating right backs, personally.
Michael Pye on Facebook somewhat disagrees with you, Andy. He says Kenny needs to rotate the squad because half the team he put out on Saturday can't do three games in 8 days, let alone another Tuesday game tomorrow. Michael, thank you for getting in touch. Don't forget, of course, Saturday we have FA Cup action, and the following Tuesday we've got Papa John's Trophy action. So perhaps a chance there for the manager to rotate his team a little bit there, Michael. But I can see exactly where you're coming from. Thank you for getting in touch from back home. Just quickly, Blake, just a quick one I want to ask is, Ellis Harrison back fit, back in the squad, is this a chance now for him to make the starting lineup again? Or again, like, you know, Andy's mentioned to, you know, about there not throwing the toys out of the pram, does Marcus Harness deserve to stay up top with John Marquess?
Well, I think if you looked at the last few games, I don't think you could really fault Marcus Harness for what he's done. 5 goals from a predominantly winger. He's obviously been converted now to a striker, possibly alongside or just a bit behind Marquess. I don't want to see us change it up top for this game. Possibly, though, for Ipswich in the Cup, I wouldn't be too upset to see Harrison come in for that one and start and get back possibly even 90 minutes in that game.
Yeah. Lads, thank you very much. I think we're going to bring our preview of tomorrow's game to a halt there and hand over now to Ryan Honey, who joins us now with a roundup of the results from our local non-league and women's teams over the weekend just gone.
Hammond to Waterlooville were narrowly beaten 2-1 by top of the league Dartford on Saturday. The Hawks' impressive 18-month unbeaten away record in the league came to an end following the defeat. Moneyfield made FA Trophy history with a 3-2 victory against Kidlington on Saturday. The Moneys, Kieran Roberts and Steve Hutchings, both netted at the death to ensure they would progress to the first round proper for the first time. They turned their attention straight back to league action on Tuesday night when they host Barnstaple Town. Gosport were knocked out the FA Trophy on Saturday at the hands of Dorchester as they fell to a 2-1 loss. Dan Wooden with the Borough goal. They'll be looking to bounce back on Tuesday night when they travel to Salisbury. Baffin's Milton Rovers slipped to a 2-1 loss at home to AFC Stoneham. Their focus returns to league matters when they visit Christchurch on Tuesday night. After United Services of Portsmouth's FA Vars tie against Bournemouth was postponed on Friday, the two teams are set to battle out on Wednesday evening for a place in the next round. Pompey women were left disappointed following Sunday's frustrating 1-0 defeat away to Crawley Wasps. Emma Plewer's goal midway through the first half was enough to separate the two sides. And finally, Gosport women's game on Sunday with NMO Ladies was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch.
Ryan Honey there, the roundup of the action from the weekend gone by involving our local non-league and women's sides. And for some of those teams, that may have been their last bit of action until December at the earliest, hoping for a swift return for our local clubs, of course, after lockdown. All right, let's take a look at some of these score predictions coming in from back home now. Ian Sands thinks Pompey will bounce back and get a 2-2 draw with the defence taking a while to settle. Steve says 1-1. Jack is going for a 1-0 Pompey win. Rusty on Twitter reckons 3-1. And on the email, Stephen Jerome again says, I think Lincoln will be a tough place to go. They've been playing well in the league of late, but we've been good on the road so far this season. I'm confident we'll go over and get a good result, going for a 2-1 win for Pompey. OK, thank you to everybody who got in touch with their predictions. Let's now get to those of my guests joining me over the phone very quickly. Andy Mitchmore, what are you going for?
I think away from home against a team who dropped points as well at the weekend, albeit to a bit of a worldie, I'll go for a 2-1 Pompey win so we get that, you know, more points than I planned us to across the two games.
2-1 win, says Andy. Blake O'Neill, what are you going for?
I'm going to have to agree with him, but I think it will be one goal, but I reckon 1-0. They've got a tight defence. We've got a good attack, but I think there'll be one goal in this one, maybe 2-1, but I'm going to go 1-0.
Lads, thank you both so much for joining me on the show this evening. I'm going for a 2-1 Pompey win as well. Back to winning ways, though, just about getting over the line against another tough opponent. And don't forget, Pompey fans, you can catch all of the action from the Blues' visit to Lincolnshire right here on Express FM from 6 o'clock tomorrow evening.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again!
This
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Following the defeat at the weekend against Charlton at Fratton, it's back to the road for the Blues in midweek. Up next for Pompey, who will be looking to put Saturday's misery behind them, is an away trip to Lincoln City. Join us for all of the unmissable action Tuesday evening from 7. Lincoln City versus Pompey will be right here on Pompey Live.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Of course, it is 6 p.m. tomorrow, not 7 p.m. 7 p.m. kickoff, earlier kickoff, of course, thrown us off a little bit there, hasn't it? But of course, Pompey are in action tomorrow. Lincoln City away from home await the Blues. 6 p.m. tomorrow, find out if Pompey can return to winning ways with another victory on the road. Well, I'm afraid to say that's all we've got time for tonight. Once again, thank you to both Andy Mitchell-Moore and Blake O'Neill for joining me over the phone lines. And of course, to you back home for tuning in and getting in touch via the text, the tweets and the emails too. Also, a thanks to our sponsors, Stagecoach Across the South, for supporting another season of the Football Hour. Coming up for you over the next few days here on Express, Dan Ogus is back with Scattering the Roots at 9 o'clock tonight. Mason Jordan wakes you up with Portsmouth Breakfast from 7 a.m. tomorrow and all through the week, of course. Pompey Live is back from 6 tomorrow evening, and Henry Deakin will be bringing you Over the White Line at the same time on Wednesday evening, all before I return with two more Blues supporters with the Football Hour this Friday between 6 and 7 to look ahead to Pompey's FA Cup first round tie at Ipswich Town. Until tomorrow, Pompey fans, have a great evening, have a safe week. We look forward to hearing from you, of course, and of course, play up Pompey. Good night.